Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. The cold crisp of the fall is biting in the morning. I love the fall. I love waking up and shaking a little bit, being all cozy in my covers. I love when it's a little too cold, and it's starting now. This night, I tried for the first time my heat pump in reverse to bring in heat rather than bring in cold, because it's been delivering very well all summer for AC. But now it will switch to heat, and it was wonderful. But I like to still keep it cold, because I like to feel some of the fall temperature. That is definitely my favorite season. I don't like the summer because it's too hot. I don't like the winter because there's too much snow, too much work to do with the snow. I don't like spring because it's too wet, but the fall is just perfect. The fall is dry, cold, like my heart. The channel says cold is the patrician's choice. Yeah. Adair says, "Oh, mate, you got a license for that speech?" No, I don't know. I'm not in the UK right now. I don't know that in my current jurisdiction I need a license to speak. I've not been told anything about this. I know that ignoring the law is not an excuse, but I don't know that I have to have a license for my speech. Detroit, Michigan, what a difference 10 years make. So you had these neighborhoods, well-built, well-maintained. And after 10 years, from 2009 to 2019, the garages are completely destroyed. They have become piles of... They just store piles of crap. Tires on the side of the road. Doors are totally destroyed. Windows are totally destroyed. Basically abandoned, open building. That is what happens to some neighborhoods in the US. Postmenopausal feminist Megyn Kelly flips out over Russell Brand having a relationship with a 16-year-old. Listen, this is fucking ridiculous. Now, Megyn Kelly, she was at Fox, and sometimes you'd have the impression that perhaps she is some kind of an independent thinker, and eventually she went on her way. And you would think, oh, maybe she's going to be more extreme. Maybe Fox was pulling her down. But actually, Fox was pulling her down in her leftism. And now that she's an independent, well, she's on those small channels, JBN, I don't know what that is. But there she is, being a total leftist.
I don't really care if it turns out that the rape charge or the sexual assault charges fall apart. You're 31 years old and you have sex allegedly over a 3-month period with a 16-year-old. We're done. I'm unsubscribing. All right. And I am.
This is not good commentary. This is what a teenager would say. I'm unsubscribing. Oh my God. She has this neotenic physique, which of course allows her to look like a 14-year-old while she's like 81. That is interesting, but I didn't know that she had the neotenic mannerism. She doesn't just try to look like a 14-year-old, she tries to act like a 14-year-old. I am unsubscribing. That is not even your generation, Megyn Kelly. You can't be that way. Oh my God. And anyways, going to the bottom of what she's saying, this is the law. The law allows, if it doesn't matter what you think about this relationship. It's like if you saw a couple of a beautiful woman with a fat man, you may say, I don't like this relationship, but they have the right. It's not about you, Megan. It's about whether the 16-year-old, capable of consent woman wanted to have a relationship with Russell Brand and whether Russell Brand wanted. That is it. Period. You can be judgmental all you want, but you have no power over this relationship. You can cancel him in your head if you want, but he has acted within the law. By the way, if you have a problem with 16-year-olds having sex and being able to consent to sex, you need to change the law. Are you part of a political party that wants to change the age of consent? What is the credibility here behind your offense? Because I don't see you working for increasing the age of consent. Is that what you want?
I'm sick of conservatives online trying to defend that as though she had a role in it. She was a minor. Just because you can't be prosecuted for it doesn't, it's right. The conservative men I know are lovely. They're ethical. They're honorable.
And they, it doesn't matter if they would choose a higher age lady. It's the law, and the law gives the power to this woman to have consented to the relationship. It's not even about Russell Brand. She wanted it, and she got it.
Honorable. It's not to say they've never fallen down in their lives, but in no world would they be taking advantage of a six.
What's this taking advantage? The law states that she can make her decision. It's not taking advantage. She took advantage of him, just like he took advantage of her. That is the foundational principle of consensual relationships. We agree with each other. I derive benefits from being with you. You derive benefits from being with me. Therefore, we're together. This taking advantage exists only in your head. It has no legal basis. It doesn't even have a moral basis to it. What's hidden in your taking advantage is a dismissal of the liberty of this young woman who had the liberty to suck Russell Brand's dick.
16-year-old minor. I have a daughter who's 4 years away from that.
Oh, and it's always people with daughters. I have a daughter. She's 4 years away from that. I would go. It doesn't matter. You are just a crazy parent who doesn't respect the liberty of their children. It doesn't matter that you're a sick parent. Perhaps this woman, the 16-year-old, didn't have sick parents, and her parents were willing to respect her liberty under the law.
You come anywhere near her as a 31-year-old man, and we are going to have a serious problem.
No, there's not going to be any problem. You weigh 120 pounds.
And it's not going to be over whether you get demonetized on YouTube.
Yes.
I really hope my friends on the conservative side of the aisle would remember, just because we're all over Me Too and it was an overreaction and it went too far and it got politicized doesn't mean that we have to knee-jerk defend every scumbag who gets accused of bad behavior.
It's not a knee-jerk defense. It's a reasonable defense based on the law. So the law is that at 16-year-old, you can consent. There has to be a law and there has to be a moment at which we give up convincing young women to do what we want them to do. At some point, they have to do what they want to do. And we've decided in the UK that it's 16 years old. Yes, this is moral posturing. Hey, there, you're totally right. She has nothing here against other than her own disgust and her paranoia that her own daughter could somehow get babies earlier than most other people, which actually is advantageous evolutionarily. Big Tech Exodus says, I'm feeling intimidated. Yes, that was a strong intimidation right there. Well, I was feeling intimidated about another news item, and I want to talk about it. The trans sergeant of the Ukrainian army, who, from what I understand, isn't on the front line. It's a person in a basement, just posing as the spokesperson of Ukraine and doing so with the permission of Ukraine. That person doesn't seem to speak Ukrainian. So basically the role of this person was to propagandize to the American people. And somehow they chose this person to do it. Anyways, strategic decisions. Don't tell your enemy when they're committing a mistake. That person has just been suspended. And it's been happening following a thing that I had commented on, that I was like, this is off track a little bit. I mean, not just a little bit. I was like, this is not militaristic language. This is terrorism that was happening. And the Ukrainian government is now saying, we weren't approving of this sentence. This was an initiative by Sarah Ashton Cirillo to make a very aggressive speech that I felt targeted about. I'm going to tell you right away, I didn't want to say it publicly back then because I was like, okay, things are getting hot. But I had to take security measures to protect myself, supplementary to the usual security measures, because this fucking terrorist was out there on Twitter saying, basically, you're next. And I didn't know who she was talking to, but I knew that to the you're next, she was saying, the last person is a personal friend of mine. Their last target was Coach Red Pill. And so I'm like, if she says you're next, or if in her discourse I can perceive a people, free thinkers of the West, you're next, I could be the next. And so I had to do security review in addition to what I usually do. And it involves, checking for bombs under my car, filming all aspects of my land, filming for intrusions, and using mirrors to inspect various hidden places where I could be targeted by bombs. Listen, I was actually scared, and I didn't talk about it publicly because as long as this person wasn't fired, I didn't know to what extent she was bluffing. But this is the segment that had scared me then, and that I characterized then as terroristic, and for which she was fired. And you'll see, like, this could be me. I mean, people are speculating she's talking about Jack Posobiec, maybe. I personally, when I saw this, I thought she was talking about Coach Red Pill. But whoever she's talking about, I mean, she wants to kill us.
Russia hates the truth that their obsessive focus on a Ukrainian volunteer is simply allowing the light of the Ukrainian nation's honesty to shine brightly. Next week, the teeth of the Russian devils will gnash ever harder, and their rabid mouths will foam in uncontrollable frenzy as the world will see a favorite.
What the fuck is this? This is not public relationship. This is not militaristic strategy. This is not communication with the great public. This is terrorism. The devil, the Russian devils will gnash with foam in their mouth. I mean, what is she going to do? At some point, I was like, she's going to drop a chemical bomb on me. I'm going to be fully chemicaled by this girl.
Kremlin propagandists pay for their crimes. And this puppet of Putin?
And she says there will be a Russian propagandist paying for their crime. That's my friend. She's talking about Coach Red Pill. That's what I thought then.
As the world will see a favorite Kremlin propagandist pay for their crimes.
A favorite propagandist. That would be someone with a high viewership, maybe Jack Posobiec, maybe Coach Red Pill because they had just captured Coach Red Pill then.
And this puppet of Putin is only the first.
Puppet of Putin?
First, Russia's war criminal propagandists will all be hunted down and justice will be...
See, I'll be hunted down. That includes me, definitely. And so in response to this, this is one of the first time where I had to take action in my life following a statement that is public by some official organization and where I'm like, okay, you have to be protected against drones, against commandos, against bombs, against... I had to take massive actions around my property to deal with this fucking threat by a trans person on the Ukrainian in the Ukrainian government. But thankfully, I'm feeling more safe now. She got fired for this. She got suspended, at least.
We served as we in Ukraine are led on this mission by faith in God, liberty, and complete liberation.
What the fuck? Well, that is a very good news that the Ukrainian government, because what she's saying cannot be interpreted as anything else than an extortion attack, terroristic attack against free thought in the West. She's definitely talking about Putin propagandists, and that will be, of course, from the perspective of the Ukrainians and the left, that would be anyone who has a somewhat subtle position other than Ukraine, go, Ukraine, go. So that's what a Putin propagandist is by today's standard. And so that's a threat to journalism, free speech in the West. It's untenable to have someone like this for an ally of the U.S. Even the leftists would take issue with this, at least the anti-war leftists. And so I'm super happy that this happened. Ukraine's transgender military spokes fired for unapproved statement. Statement of the command of the territorial defense of Ukraine concerning junior sergeant Sarah Ashton Cirillo. The statements of the sergeant in recent days were not approved by the command of the TDF or the command of the AFU. When conducting military operations against the aggressor, the defense forces of Ukraine strictly observe the norms of international humanitarian law. The command of the TDF will conduct an official investigation into the circumstances of these statements. Appropriate decisions would be taken. Sergeant Sarah Ashton Cirillo will be suspended immediately pending the investigation. Thank God I'm not going to receive a drone strike, because they drop from very cheap drones. They drop a little bottle and it looks like it's ridiculous. The bottle just falls. It's not like a rocket or anything. It's just the drone comes, throws the bottle close to you, and then it makes a puff of gas and you die and you start shaking like this. And so when she says, you know, foaming at the mouth, I'm like, she's going to target me with this bottle. I have to have a breathing masks and everything. Holy shit. What a fucking crazy woman. Darl says, Jeff has to build a steel skeletal structure covering his home to protect against drone. I do what I can. I'm mostly worried about, you know, targeted killings. Of course, if they shoot a Iskander missile onto my house, okay, I'm going to accept dying then. But I'm worried because in the West, I'm not super scared about the Iskander missile just destroying my whole house. I'm mostly worried about, you know, this kind of little drone that could be operated by a single individual and with a single grenade of toxic chemicals or something. Defenestrator says, JF can emerge from his cheese cave now. Yeah, I've not been going out very much in the last few weeks, let me tell you. And not related to this, but I've been so busy that I've been working from home all the time. Defenestrator says, I don't think you can be a Quebecois without a cheese cave. Well, I don't have a cheese cave, so I guess that's it. I lost my Quebecois status. Ukrainian MOD announces Sarah Ashton Cirillo has been suspended, placed under investigation. Charlie Kirk was covering as follows. Ukraine has suspended trans military spokesman Sarah Ashton Cirillo pending an investigation concerning Ukraine that would hunt down and kill foreign journalists critical of war. The Ukraine Territorial Defense Forces said that they didn't approve the statements. And Sarah Ashton Cirillo herself says, since there are several people asking for this video and many discussing it on Telegram and across social media channels, here is my latest episode of Russia Hates the Truth. The Russians and their supporters are gnashing their teeth as predicted. Well, that's the video for which she... Okay, and that's a picture of Sarah Ashton Cirillo before... Are you fucking kidding me? That was her? Wow. A 46-year-old man from Florida named Mike. Wow. People change a lot when you join the LGBT empire to fight at the front line against Russia. There's a whole before and after. Keith Woods publishes a video saying African immigrant to Ireland celebrates the disappearance of Irish people. The whites are going extinct here now. We're taking over.
It's a new Ireland.
It is, though. It is a new Ireland. It's a new Ireland of new, different diversities, multicultural people, Filipinos, Spanish, Africans.
Yeah, we get nothing from this. Have you ever asked yourself, what do I get from this diversity? You might get a restaurant with a different kind of food. Do we need this? Is it worth the cost? Is anyone asking these questions?
Mixed people. I met a girl, dude.
I see so much mixing. I see so much multiculturalism. What do you derive from it? I don't derive anything. Perhaps you derive something from it as a black man because you see a potential of... if there was more of a continuum between the dark and the white, perhaps you would get dating opportunities within the brown and brownish. But I don't think that you derive any gains from destroying the demographics that you or your ancestors chose to live with. I think that ultimately you're going to pay the price when you turn out to live in a country that has all of the features of an African nation from which your ancestors flee. Or you fled, I don't know.
I met the girl the other day and I was like, where are you from? She goes, my man's from China and my dad is from Africa. I'm like, whoa! Ireland!
Whoa, a Blasian! Whoa! You need to be fully biased for this to make your day, for this to be like, to put you in this state where you spread your arms like this. A fucking Blasian? Oh my God, Brittany, what's her name? Brittany Venti. Brittany Venti? Wow, Blasian, black and Asian, wow.
It's unique now, we're mixed. Because I can imagine in 10 years' time, there's going to be Barack Obama's walking around, Beyonce's and all.
Can you imagine seeing a future of Barack Obama and Beyonce's walking on the street as a positive thing? This guy has no idea what leads him to be able to put that suit on. This guy has no idea what it takes for a society to even be capable of producing that suit. And what he doesn't realize is that his future of Barack Obama's and Beyoncé's is a future in which he can't even wear this stuff because it's unavailable.
Oh, different sorts. Mixture of people. So the whites are going extinct here now, so we're taking over.
we're committing a genocide. Oh my God, these people know what they're doing, but somehow they find it hilarious, which is probably why they end up being 100% of the demographics of the country they eventually live in and that they eventually dominate through majority. Frederick von Finkel says they need to do a study on whether tropical species become violent in northern climates and then see if it extrapolates to humans. Oh, I don't think that it's as simple as this. I think that perhaps you could be touching onto something here because perhaps the cold is so rough that it leads to a kind of isolation of life forms in general that could be extrapolated across both humans and other animals. So I don't think it's totally wrong, and you could be right, but it's a very simple story, ultimately. I don't know if that will be enough to explain the variations in violence in all of humanity. Because I think there are political factors, historical factors. Like, you look at China. China is a very low violence society. And yet, from an equatorial position, it is not so differently placed than certain North African nations. It's very close, you know, in terms of level at the equator. If you go at the south of China or you go at the north of Africa. And so to have a pearly tropical slash winter theory of violence, I think it's not enough. But I think you could be touching onto something, because what do we find, for example, in northern climates that we don't find in terms of animals that we don't find at the equator? We find massive animals like moose, bears, polar bears, buffaloes, and, you know, these animals, they have a feature, which is some of them are social, like the buffaloes. Some of them are relatively lonely, like the bears. But they are big accumulators of fat, basically. So their whole life is built around building a system that can keep heat against the cold. And as a this leads to consequences. It is very hard for a predator species to evolve to exclusively eat buffaloes. They're just big, and they have a lot of energy if you succeed at killing one, and it does exist. There are some animals that can pursue buffaloes and kill them. But the buffaloes are social, and they arrange in group, and now you have to kill 50 buffaloes if you want to eat just one. Or you have to find one that is particularly weak and somehow get the others to run away. That may be the mechanism that played there in the whole accumulation of a single big ball of fat. Perhaps that is a strategy that is inherently tied to big defenses. So big defenses like the buffalo, big defenses like the claws of the bear, or big defenses like the moose, and just is imposing stature and is whatever that's called, is wood. We call this wood in English, is woods. not in English, that is in French. Des bois d'orignal. That's what we call this. I don't know what's the term in English. But it looks like there is a very defensive strategy attached to northern life. And perhaps that is also true of humans, that the cold pushes them into small families, small groups, and that their strategy is mostly defense against aggression, stack a lot of reserves, stack a lot of energy, stack a lot of fat. Atchesput says, JF, what's your opinion on the high suicide rate in Greenland? All these native Greenland people abuse alcohol, and so many just kill themselves. I don't have a strong opinion. Probably factors of modernity. Probably changes of the dating world. You have a lot of despair on the side of males because you have the rising polygamy lifestyle, which leads females to concentrate at the top of the male social ladder, and polygamy allows them to share a male either in time or even parallelly, fuck the same man. So lots of men who don't see a chance in the new dating scene, perhaps, combined with the new arrival of various drugs on the market, of the availability of alcohol, and I think that most people's ancestors have not been faced with a market of such alcohol availability, you know, even if we've been, as Europeans, we've been in contact with alcohol for certainly a couple hundred years. It is quite new that every single person has the means and is very close to a store where they can buy alcohol. That's a relatively new aspect of our lives. And so all of this availability that wasn't there before despair concerning the dating market that wasn't there before, the general cultural signals that have lost sense of religion, tradition, and all of the normal things that your ancestors used to be exposed to. Take these factors together, and you're going to get suicide at the bottom, I think. I think that should explain it. Villain says, blacks are the perfect consumer if the product you sell can be financed. Yes, their credit sucks, but they will have 25 different people who will co-sign with them. They will never look at total price, just what they have to pay a month. In this way, blacks paid cash for my house. Really? They do these pooling groups like this? I didn't know. But yes, I think that there's it's important to mention that the banks and the creditors are basically forced by law at this point to not do discrimination by zip code, which is interpreted to be an indirect form of discrimination by race. And so I think that you get a lot of credit that goes into the black community that wouldn't go if the banks were allowed to be more discretionary in their refusals of loans. So I think that, well, the way Frame Games had explained it on this show, he explained to us that basically the banks, they will go into a place where there's lots of black people and they will just give loans, knowing that they're probably not going to collect it back, but just to keep an equilibrium so they can argue to the legislator, hey, we're not discriminating. Look at how much loans we've given in this zip code. And that sucks. That sucks because it's a form of communism already stemming from within private decisions. So it doesn't take much intervention from the government for the companies to end up doing the bidding of communism. Because in the end, if they don't pay their loans, who's going to pay? White people. So that's a white tax that is emerging through this system. And yet the government didn't enact a white tax law. All the government had to say is, don't discriminate. We're going to measure your rates across zip codes. And naturally, the system in the front of government and intimidation ends up doing exactly what they want, which is to charge a white tax. Now, the same thing here is happening with Russell Brand. So Russell Brand, we learned that his demonetization has been subject to pressure by the UK government. Now, the demonetization of Russell Brand happened a couple of days ago. And so you might say, well, JF, that's a 19 September letter. Maybe that letter was produced after it was demonetized. But that's a 19 September letter we get from communication between the UK government and TikTok and Rumble. But I wouldn't be surprised that they sent that letter to YouTube a few days before. Or that if they haven't sent that letter, they somehow made sure that YouTube was receiving a whisper that there was talk of sending it. And so, and when you read that letter, you realize what they're asking is basically, they're basically saying, Russell Brand can say whatever he wants, but we'd like to know, are you monetarily benefiting from what he says? And so it's clearly them, suggesting that they're going to go after the money that they make from Russell Brand if they keep Russell Brand onto YouTube. So I'm absolutely certain that there is based on these letters that were sent to other social media, like TikTok and Rumble, I'm absolutely certain that some amount of communication between the UK government and YouTube has led YouTube to make that decision first of demonetizing Russell Brand based on absolutely just allegations, which makes it even crazier because now it's not just, oh, allegations will lead you to be demonetized. It's allegations about someone that the government doesn't like will lead you to be censored and demonetized. The British government sent a letter to TikTok and Rumble asking if Brand is able to make profit from his content on the platform. This implies that they are directly targeting Brand and attempting to fully deplatform him. The trial has not even started, but the government is participating in the court of public opinion to cancel someone who hasn't even been to the court. So Culture, Media and Sport Committee, a letter from the Director of Government Relations to the Director of Government Relations of Europe, TikTok, signed Dame Caroline Dinenage, Chair Culture, Media and Sport Committee, MP. So a representative in the UK. Dear Theo, I am writing concerning the serious allegations regarding Russell Brand in the context as a user of TikTok with more... They don't even know how to write. In the context as a user of TikTok with more than 2.2 million followers on the platform. That sentence doesn't make sense. We're getting censored by people who don't even know how to write in English. English is my second language, and I can tell you it doesn't make sense. The Culture, Media, and Sport is raising, even there, you know, missing the word committee. This is a poorly written letter. I can't believe that the fucking apes that are censoring us don't know how to write in English. Unbelievable. Is raising questions with the broadcasters who previously employed Mr. Brand or production companies who employed him to examine both the culture of the industry in the past and whether that culture still prevails today. That has nothing to do with the culture of YouTube in the past or Rumble or TikTok. Although Mr. Brand no longer appears on television, he now has a follower base on social media, including on TikTok, where this weekend he republished his preemptive response to the accusations made against him by the Sunday Times. While we recognize that TikTok is not the creator of the content published by Mr. Brand, and his content may be within the community guidelines set out by the platform, we are concerned that he may be able to profit from his content on the platform. So there you go. Governmental interference with your the idea of profiting from your speech. So, he can say whatever he wants, and maybe it respects the rules, but we're concerned. We're concerned by the fact that he's making money with you. And we will drag you in the media if you don't do what we want, which is to demonetize him. A new guy says, let's call it what it is. He's been canceled in advance of the US election next year. Absolutely. Because he has the kind of personality who could have been making a lot of noise in this election. Rumble responds to UK MP's censorship order. Today we receive an extremely disturbing letter from a committee chair in the UK Parliament. While Rumble obviously deplores sexual assault, rape, and all serious crimes, and believes that both alleged victims and the accused are entitled to a full and serious investigation, it is vital to note that recent allegations against Russell Brand have nothing to do with content on Rumble's platform. Just yesterday, YouTube announced that, based on solely on these media accusations, it was barring Mr. Brand from monetizing his video content. Rumble stands for very different values. We have devoted ourselves to the vital cause of defending a free internet, meaning an internet where no one arbitrarily dictates which IDs can or cannot be heard, or which citizens may or may not be entitled to a platform. We regard it as deeply inappropriate and dangerous that the UK Parliament would attempt to control who is allowed to speak on our platform or to earn a living from doing so. Singling out an individual and demanding his ban is even more disturbing given the absence of any connection between the allegations and his content on Rumble. We don't agree with the behavior of many Rumble creators, but we refuse to penalize them for actions that have nothing to do with our platform. Although it may be politically and socially easier for Rumble to join a cancel culture mob, doing so would be a violation of our company's value and mission. We emphatically reject the UK Parliament's demand. Well, thank God we at least have some resistance. Unbelievable what's happening. This is tortious interference, as someone pointed out in the chat earlier. It is just straight out denial of business because we don't like you. There is no mechanism by which the UK government goes to cancel every criminal's YouTube account. It's like there's no process by which, oh yeah, you've been found guilty of rape, you lose your YouTube account. No, they're just going after this guy because they know this guy could be politically hostile to them. Shrigmamel sends a super chat. He says, "JF, this annoying girl at the work asked me if I'm dating someone. I told her I am. She asked what age. I said 18, and I told her that she never has dated a guy in her life, and she said that's a red flag. I couldn't help but laugh at her reasoning." Oh yeah, she didn't build experience, so she doesn't know what she wants. That is a classical saying by boomers and liberals, this delusion that that you're going to get somehow experience from having many relationships. There is no evidence at all that people are maturing through relationships. In fact, if anything, I've seen, you know, what it is to date young women who have a fresh interaction with the dating world, and, you know, washed up women who have fucked hundreds of guys. And it is my impression that there is not a maturity building up, but that there is at least a selection process of the most mentally unhealthy people. And when you get down to the 34-year-old single woman and you try dating that, you will capture the worst of the worst, the most mentally unhealthy people who repeatedly, basically, have demonstrated that they are unable to pursue a relationship, especially if she's the one who has broken these relationships. If someone comes to me and says, "I've had 6 or 7 boyfriends, but they all left," okay, I can take that. But if you've had 6 or 7 boyfriends and you always end up feeling, "Oh, I don't love them anymore," it's probably how it's going to end with me also. True says, "That is what women are. They are all crack whores deep inside. JF." Well, that is not a quote of me, but I have said things about crack whores, which is a subset of the female population. Silver Spider says, "I hate that saying. My first girlfriend's mother, who was divorced and psychotic to the point my girlfriend ran away from home." My first girlfriend's mother, okay, my first girlfriend's mother, who was divorced and psychotic to the point my girlfriend ran away from home, told her she needed to not settle down with me and get more experience. Absolutely ridiculous. There is nothing you gain from, even if there was something that you learn in the couple, why wouldn't you reinvest this learning with the same guy and the same girl? Like, if it was truly that you grow in this relationship, isn't that amazing? You grow in a relationship. Why don't you pursue it? If there's anything you've learned, apply it in the couple. Apply it to get a better couple. Most likely, if you go with another guy, it's all going to have to be relearned, and it's all going to be other problems, and it's all going to be different. You have the chance of having learned things, and your reaction is go away from wherever it is that you learned. so that you can try to apply independently from whether it really serves or not in another situation. True says, lol, pretty sure it is. I like your show, JF. You crack me up. Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. As the poor Romanian YouTuber V once said, the only crime you can commit on this platform is to not be funny. And so I try to be funny. Strange that there is almost no legacy media coverage of this. About 2 million people from every country on Earth are entering through the U.S. southern border every year. The number is rising rapidly, yet no preventive action is taken by the current administration. Well, that's the plan, Elon. And I'm glad that Elon... Basically, this kind of tweet makes me think Elon is truly based in his heart. He's under bad influence. He's been hanging out with way too many liberals throughout his life. But Elon is based. He understands the problems of immigration, leftism, state. He understands all of it. Yeah. But then he's got bad influence and he's got a desire to please. You have to understand, Elon Musk, this is the fact that the current administration isn't fighting it is because they want this. Because these immigrants eventually will represent a force of voting for a socialist rise in America. And the first benefactor of this rise will be the Democrat Party. Even if they're not really socialists, they're really just corrupt capitalists. But corrupt capitalists are always those withdrawing the benefits when socialism rises. It's always like this because they are a class of specialists who specialize in getting money from the state and making money from not what the people want to buy, but what the government wants to buy, because they know that's a flow of money that can't stop. And what worries me to some extent about you, Elon, is you are that kind of guy too. You've been on the government tap, you know. You've been saying some very liberal things at time. I would like to know if there's truly a right-wing thinker inside of you who truly understands that even if you've been benefiting from government grants and tax credits, government contracts like SpaceX, you've been even trying to get military funding for Starlink. So this is what worries me about you. It's, you seem to know all of the ingredients why that is wrong, but you also seem to be trying to dip yourself into that pool. You have to reject all of it and say the whole mechanism by which these immigrants are welcomed in by careless governments who actually want them in to vote for Democrats, to increase the size of the government. All of this system needs to be rejected. Silver Spider says to defenestrator, most of them work off the books and collect welfare, living very lean. No way American workers can compete when they are paying for their competition. Oh yeah, that's a big problem. A lot of double dipping on the social welfare and little jobs under the table. We are in a world of problem in this country. Francis from Bull Bitcoin says, woke Marxist degenerates counter-protesting in Canada chant and wave banners that says our kids and you don't own your kids. This has become institutional policy. That's okay, you may think. I will just go off-grid, homeschool my kids and mind my own business. But that's what Sam taught. And then he tells the story in 2020 of Sam Maloney. The day they shot Sam Maloney in the head in his home because he refused to let bureaucrats take his young kids away to interrogate them about his alternative political opinions, I realized they weren't playing around with enforcing the government ownership of children. That is exactly what's happening in Canada, in the US, in many states. And yes, I agree with Francis that fleeing will only protect you temporarily. But that doesn't mean fleeing is not the solution. You have to protect yourself temporarily before you can rebuild the world in a more stable way. And right now, there is simply no political solution to fix the problem of state control of children. So the only way you're going to get away from it is by being in an area that is so unpopulated that they don't have enough budget to have their social worker and their child protective service and whatever. So that's the technique for now. Next generation, we're going to have to reconcentrate, form a nation that is free somewhere, or we're going to have to just hope that the system crumbles under its own contradictions. But people who are constantly dismissing, fleeing, let me tell you, fleeing is a good strategy in lots of situations. Swing It says, JF, have you considered having your show a bit earlier to capture the European audience? I have to stay up too late to watch it live. Yes, people have been saying that to me throughout the years, and the answer is I hear you, but no, it won't happen. To me, it's a kind of religion, this whole idea of 7 p.m. Eastern time. By the way, do you know where the 7 p.m. Eastern times comes from? It comes from one of my Quebecois hero, a man named Marc Labrèche. And Marc Labrèche was hosting a comedy show back in the days. And that comedy show was called La fin du monde est à 7 heures. The end of the world is at 7 p.m. And I would religiously be waiting for exactly 7 p.m., just standing on the couch, excited at the idea that I would get a comedic delivery of 30 minutes from Marc Labrèche. La fin du monde est à 7 heures. And the 7 p.m. Eastern time comes from him. It comes from the fact that since I'm maybe 7 years old, I'm sitting in front of a TV at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Amazingly, now I'm sitting in front of a camera. But that is religious. I'm born that way. I am born that way. The end of the world is at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And of course, I don't deliver like Marc Labrèche. Marc Labrèche has a different type of personality to me. He's kind of a leftist. He's a theatrical, kind of non-gay theatrical guy. So he acts a little gay. But in this case, he's not gay. I don't know. I don't think he is gay. You know, he acts fabulously. Oh, his humor is always very demonstrative. I'm not like Marc Labrèche. I have a different philosophy. But he had something like a revolt against the system inside of him. And he had a capacity to do a form of humor that was revolutionary in its own time. That is, in the 90s. That was funny and edgy. And that was at the border of acceptability in some ways. And it was provocative in its format. And there was the guy Bruno, was it Bruno Landry, who was one of his collaborators. And isn't it with him that Jean-René Dufort started out before he cocked for the communist CBC? I think it was. This was a very special show where talents emerged. Bruno Blanchet was his name. Bruno Blanchet, le petit monsieur pas de cou. Hey, man. And sometimes, le petit monsieur pas de cou is a guy that had no neck. Le petit monsieur pas de cou would show up on the show and I don't know if it's this character or he had another character that did have a neck, but he would never speak. He would never say anything. And it was funny. It was funny to take the format of a regular night show where you have an interview, you're supposed to deliver news, and he would just stay there and be stupid. He would just be... he would look like a retard, really. Bruno Blanchet. La Brèche, Blanchet, Dufort. Ah, petite dent. Petite dent had a special feature of his teeth. I believe he was making it like... And all this guy had, petite dent, which means little teeth. The only feature of this guy is that he had little teeth. And he would just show his little teeth in any situation that he could be put on. Now, this is ridiculous. It's not deep humor. But it was a style that was taking us out of the general humor that existed at the time in Quebec, which was dominated highly by stand-up monologue delivery. And these guys were coming with a kind of weirdish out there, breaking the... It was comedy about breaking the usual style of the media. and yes, so you ask me, will I ever stream at another time than 7 p.m. Eastern time? No, because the end of the world is at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Defenestrator says, we need a video clip of the show JF is talking about. Oh my God, is that even available? I mean, this is old stuff. La fin du monde est à 7 heures. Petite dent. That's the petit monsieur pas de coup.
Pour d'autres activités à éviter, écoutons les judicieux conseils de maître Bruno Blanchet. Avec sa chronique, quoi ne pas faire en fin de semaine? Cher Bruno, bonjour!
Bonjour Marc.
Comment vas-tu?
Ça va très bien.
Ça va bien?
La semaine dernière, il y a des gens qui se sont sentis un petit peu blessés à cause de Jésus.
Oui.
Alors, ben cette semaine, je m'excuse et je vais vous faire un bulletin tout à fait politically correct. Il n'y a personne qui va se sentir...
So he attacked Jesus last week and he's apologizing for those he offended.
Plaisir. Alors, en fin de semaine, il faut pas mettre quelque chose dans quelque chose qu'il faut pas mettre quelque chose dedans. Autre chose, faut passer par-dessus certaines choses. Et même si quelqu'un vous a fait faire quelque chose qui vous a fait de quoi, il faut pas faire faire quelque chose à quelqu'un d'autre à qui ça a fait de quoi de se faire faire quelque chose comme ça. Mettons là, OK, quelque chose. N'importe quoi. Ben, quand tout le monde sait ce que c'est et de quoi ça a l'air, faut être bien sûr de son affaire quand on veut faire croire que c'est autre chose que ce que c'est. Démonstration.
Je suis Julie Schneider. Hey, toi.
I'd like to see. Oh yeah, that's the man without a neck. Oh yeah, he always ended up dancing. The man without a neck. Do they have tzedan? I don't know. See, here we see the little gay aspect of Marc Labrèche.
Merci infiniment, Bruno.
See, he looks very gay. He acts very gay. But that's just because of his courses in theater.
C'était très politique, les correct.
Oui, ça va, merci.
Merci infiniment, nous allons faire une petite pause. Et nous revenons avec le pire moment de la semaine.
I don't think he's gay, though. Oh, Tidan is here. That's...
Les aventures de Tidan. Il a de drôles d'aventures.
Yeah, and the feature of this guy is it's always funny to see him try to communicate because there's an emergency, but all he can communicate is that he has small teeth. And so he's like... And this is very basic comedy, but it was interesting for the child that I was. And yeah, to me, that there was a religious contact with TV at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Marc Labrèche eventually went on to do some degree of things that look anti-system, but that are truly leftist. But it was always done with a certain genius to his stuff. Like he eventually did The Freak Show. And freak in French means cash. So when he was doing The Freak Show, he mixed the idea of having a circus demonic type of show where there would be crazy grandmas with three boobs and there would be circus demonstrations of all kind of, you know, the bizarre circus underground type of creepy experience type of show. So a freak show and, you know, butchers and murderers and that kind of people. He mixed this idea with making a show that's a documentation of capitalism. And that's a serious news outlet about the state of capitalism, the economy, and how it works, and the nature of money and that kind of stuff. So taken together, these two ideas led to The Freak Show, which freaks means both in French means cash, and in English it means freak. And that was a daring project, you know, to make a news show about finances, but you have random grandmas with three boobs and butchers, you know, kind of psychopathic butchers showing up and putting shit all over the place and having little demonic puppet that are like, ah! But that, it looked very good. It was a high-level production, but he did that with the Canadian government at the CBC. And... He explained one day in an interview with At Tout Le Monde En Parle, he explained that he is willing to go against his principles if he needs to eat as an artist. And that at times he had been participating to productions by big entities, the big companies that he felt uncomfortable with, but he did what he had to do to survive and eat and feed his family. I remember him saying that. But that is a great man. A great man of Quebec. Probably one of the, if you want to know the seed of JF, it's probably Marc Labrèche. Not to the extent that he didn't influence my thoughts very much, but the idea of being here in front of a camera every day, that was largely inspired by him. And the idea that you can change the world from in front of a camera, even if it's not the most popular show, and even if it's only your little world that you influence, this idea to me has been highly ingrained in me by Marc Labrèche. Yes, absolutely. The first human patient will soon receive a Neuralink device. This ultimately has the potential to restore full body movement. In the long term, Neuralink hopes to play a role in AI civilizational risk reduction by improving human-to-AI and human-to-human bandwidth by several orders of magnitude. Imagine if Stephen Hawking had had this. I don't think that this device has shown any sign that it's above standard of what we currently have. We've seen this again and again being pulled by universities. John Donoghue has his own work on human patients. So I don't think that what Elon will pull here is a particularly commercially viable, scientifically viable thing. I think it's going to have very limited output. I think it's going to be associated with diminishing performance across the years. You're going to have maybe, if you're lucky, four bits of live control when you implant it, down to 2, 1, and 0 bits within a year, within 2 years. That's my thoughts now. Maybe Elon knows things that I don't. Maybe he's had amazing performance on his monkey tests. But I have seen no sign that they were revolutionizing this domain. And it's a domain I've been working on. It's a domain I've been doing my postdoc in. Single neuron recording in monkey brains. So I know a lot about the state of the field. And I don't think we're going to get to the point where there is very good control from these chips. I think that these chips will always be extremely invasive. They will not be worth the health risk. They will be worth the health risk for someone who's totally cut from the world. And where these chips come in and they give them a pleasant life for maybe a year or two. But there's going to be scarring tissue. Because you're talking about injecting wires, electrical wires in... of course, they are not wires, they are pins, really. They are metal pins. And when you inject a metal pin in brain tissue, it gets messy. It gets messy, it gets... there's a reaction to the injury that happens, and the tissue around the metal pin eventually rebuilds itself. And very often, you will lose signals. Or sometimes, you will actually gain signal as the injury heals. So sometimes your electrode will catch a lucky neuron, and then the injury will heal, and then the lucky neuron will be better and better recorded across times. That's possible, but still, we're talking about a few neurons that will be well recorded by these devices. And I think it's going to be fine. I'm fine with people getting it, because... if you're going to live the next 40 years of your life without contact to the universe, you might as well take a health risk. You know, the pin may kill you, but you're going to have a pleasant 1 year or 2 years where you can have some interaction with the help of a computer. I'm fine with people doing this, but I think it's a relatively minor societal contribution. I don't think there's that many people who need that technology. And I think there's always this slippery slope that people assume when they talk of this subject, from I have tetraplegia and oh, thank God I can now shop on Amazon, to oh, well, this is a mind-reading device and Elon wants to dominate the world. And I just don't see the slippery slope is rougher than most people think. The path to this being applied outside of the very extreme case of a tetraplegic is just not there, in my view. The channel says, I need it for RTS gaming. Yeah, maybe one day we'll be like, boom, I just beat you in Fortnite. Like sending waves through our mind to control our Fortnite characters. FBI had so many informants in January 6 riot, they lost track and had to perform an audit. Oh my God, it is. Yeah, I'm not surprised. They just don't know. They just don't. Was this our guy? I don't know. I mean, it's amazing because if they don't know, it could be 99% of the people you see on camera. I mean, how do you even know? Perhaps these agents didn't even know who's an agent out there. Imagine you're the FBI, and then there's the local police and the Washington police, and then there's secret informants from the DOJ, and then there's secret informants from CIA or whatever. At some point, it could be all agents, and they wouldn't know. That they might even have agents that they've put in jail by accident. Oh, well, we gave him 20 years, but here we had forgotten, but here he is. He's on our log. He was one of our guys. Why the American Revolution still matters. Late last month, the administrators at a Colorado public school with the grandiose name The Vanguard School tried to force a 12-year-old boy named Jaden to remove a Gadsden flag patched from his backpack, the Don't Tread on Me. And yes, this text makes the argument that the whole South versus North is still a very relevant thing, and that is also my impression. I feel the penetration of history. I feel that everything we're seeing now is because the North won. The North won the secession war. I don't know how do you guys call it, the Civil War. And I think that this influences a lot. And no, not just about slavery, but about the kind of model that has taken over all of America. And it was a kind of imperialistic conquest from the inside. And it has determined the fact that it has determined the whole dynamics of today with leftist big cities. Basically, this is the empire that won. The New Yorks of today, the San Diego of today are all kind of a product of this win. Defenestrator calls it the War of Northern Aggression. I like it. I love this one. I love to look at it from that perspective. And as a last news item, Ukraine will not get ATAC-MS long-range missiles anytime soon, according to Fox. The 190-mile range tactical ballistic missiles urgently requested by Zelensky to destroy Russian forces in Crimea and other Russian-held territory anytime soon, officials say. News come one day after Zelensky visits Biden at the White House. Well, I'm reassured because I felt like I could be targeted by Ukraine last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm happy to see that there is some de-escalation here. And I don't think they should be given these missiles because it will only extend the war. What will they do with these missiles? They're going to shoot it wherever they can to just make life hard for Russia and make life hard for a settlement of this whole thing into a stabilization. I mean, I feel like it's already stabilized from a border perspective, you know. Someone was noting on Twitter, a girl was noting today, it's fascinating how Kiev is basically 100 kilometers from the Belarus border and the northern border, and yet there's no tension at this border. But that's because largely the war is over. If they could stabilize and not try to progress, and if Zelensky wasn't so desperate at getting American cash and making a case that, yeah, it keeps going, yes, we're doing counteroffensives, this war could be over already if there was political will for it, but there is none. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me, and I will see you all tomorrow.